Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome today. It's all about cyber here, and we have a special guest, and it's an honor to have the mayor of Colorado Springs, Mayor Southers, John Southers. Welcome today, and thanks for joining.
Hey, I'm glad to be with you.
And we are definitely glad to hear from you because this is basically your brain trust, this cyber effort in Colorado Springs, and we wanted to give you the opportunity to tell the world, tell our listeners about the story of how this idea came together and was founded.
You know, I reject the notion that it's my brain trust because, frankly, I personally don't have the sophistication in cyber and cybersecurity that so many people do. But I'm smart enough to know that this is going to be a huge area of endeavor over the next several years. As I see the world shaping up, cybersecurity is going to dominate our financial markets, our financial world, our manufacturing world. I mean, as it's been described to me, what good is it if you have a highly innovative manufacturing technique that you've got patents for and whatever, if a hacker can steal it from you or a foreign nation can steal it from you in a heartbeat? It's a worthless property right. And so cybersecurity is going to be a pervasive part of our lives going forward. And as mayor of Colorado Springs, it's become very apparent to me that there's a what I call kind of a triad of synergy in Colorado Springs that makes us ideal to be at the center of cybersecurity going forward. And let me just briefly explain that. Number one, we have a military presence that is highly cyber dependent. I mean, look at our critical missions that are based here, whether it be U.S. Space Command, NORAD, NORTHCOM, and many others that are, highly cyber dependent.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
We've got an academic environment that's conducive. Of the five universities in Colorado that have an NSA certification, four of them are in El Paso County. Only the University of Denver is outside of El Paso County. The Air Force Academy is going into cyber in a very big way. UCCS is head of an eight university consortium. With its NSA certification, it's had the ability to grant undergraduate and graduate degrees. A big part of this National Cyber Center that we're going to set up is going to be involved in workforce development. Time after time, when I talk to companies about cybersecurity companies in Colorado Springs, all they talk about is their workforce needs. And so that needs to be a big part of what we're involved in figuring out, what the marketplace really needs. What I find out is that in some instances, Colleges and universities basically transformed their IT department into a cyber department, and they're teaching skills that were okay for IT, but not relevant to the real-world needs of companies in the cyber arena. We got to make sure that we're up to date and able to adapt to the rapidly changing environment, and offering workforce development that's keeping up with all the advances. The third part of that triad is all the cybersecurity companies located here. We've got 85 cyber companies here. Mm-hmm. And so we think we've got a great dynamic. And we've been working on that. And then last couple of months, along comes the governor. He's come back from a trip to Israel, seen a cyber security center there, and said, we need to do this in Colorado, and was quickly convinced, not only by folks here, but throughout Colorado, that Colorado Springs is the place to do that. And so we are setting up the exact name is not yet determined, although we have a 501c3 certification or tax status. We're going to have a center physically located in Colorado Springs. We're taking over the TRW building on North Nevada that is owned by UCCS. We're getting an appropriation from the legislature for $8 million to renovate that. And we're going to start with three prongs. And the first one to be set up is a national cyber institute, a training program. There's lots of training available for private sector executives and things like that, but right now there's very little available for public officials, people like myself who don't have a cyber background but need to know what questions to be asking, mm-hmm. My city staff to make sure we are protecting ourselves against certain vulnerabilities. And we're going to start with the National Governors Association. We think we'll have our first program probably in November. Here in Colorado Springs, we'll follow up with a National Conference of Mayors. We've got folks with contacts, obviously the National AGs Association and things like that. The second component will be both workforce development and research in public policy. This is a nascent area, and there'll be a lot of fleshing out of public policy and law over the next several years, and we want to be at the forefront of those discussions. The University of Colorado, Colorado Springs will take the lead in what our workforce development program looks like. And then finally, we will have some sort of rapid response capabilities, whether it's the type of thing where we can actually deliver from the center a response to an intrusion, or whether based on the nature and sophistication of it, we need to refer it out to companies that we work with. That remains to be seen. But the amazing thing to me is, as we've begun these discussions, how much has come along from the periphery, folks deeply involved in manufacturing, cyber manufacturing. Mm-hmm. They want to create a presence in Colorado Springs to be part of this. The conversations and some of the people we're attracting to the board, Rhett Hernandez, who set up Army Cybersecurity, he now operates out of Washington, D.C. The chairman is going to be a former head of Goldman Sachs, and very involved in cybersecurity from a financial standpoint. And we just think we're attracting the kind of people that are going to be able to help us make this a real center of attention in the cyber area.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Since the year 2000, BOCOR has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many front-range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, BOCOR is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the BoCor team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's BoCor.com, BoeCore.com. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
That's interesting. So all these players, now I heard financial industry, military, university,
manufacturing.
Kind of sounding a little bit rounder than, you know, at first I heard a lot of university and government, and it really seemed to be a focus on that information security from a government perspective. So do you see that you're rounding out more so and not just...
Oh, yeah, it will be more than just government. I mean, a lot of companies, of course, are already, you know, they have companies on contract that are doing a lot of their cybersecurity and stuff like that. But a lot of companies are also looking for direction. Mm-hmm. We hope to be able to help them out. This will have a big private component. There's no question about it.
Okay. What do you see for critical infrastructure? Have you included, reached out any big proponents in that area yet?
Well, in terms of, are you talking funding and things
critical
like that?
Critical infrastructure security.
Yeah. We'll see. Let me just tell you a little bit about funding. One of the great things about the TRW building, I mean, it was initially constructed. It had a skiff. Mm-hmm. It has 18-inch walls. It's really easy to convert to the type of secure facility that we want to have. We are very pleased with our level of private sector investment. We'll be able to hire an executive director or a CEO. We're still debating what that title is going to look like, with some, you know, substantial compensation as a result of that private sector investment. And we hope to be able to start out with maybe 3 or 4 additional employees. And I'm quite confident that this is going to move pretty quickly.
Okay. So as a government official, and you're also on the board of the NCIC, do you see anywhere that could be conflict of interest?
Well, we'll see. If there is, then we'll do something about that. The governor started out as the chairman, and because he's the guy that's going to sign the bill that's going to deliver the $8 million to it, he stepped out of that capacity, and we'll see whether there's any sorts of impediments for me. As of right now, I don't see any.
Mm-hmm.
But that could potentially develop.
We'll see. Could be an issue.
Yeah.
So as far as, everything seems to be under one wing right now. You're looking at the NCIC. I heard a lot of that is the universities, you know, local education and everything. Do you think that your effort's going to support many, you know, outside of the NCIC? You know, cyber efforts and things like that?
Good, yeah, very much so. And as you know, in the workforce development area, we're not just talking degrees, we're talking certifications, and a lot of companies don't need anybody with degrees. They need people with experience that they can provide additional experience to and get them certified and in certain areas, and we want to be able to meet the employer's needs across the board.
Okay. So one thing I see, and I always ask everybody this, I've been going to cybersecurity conferences for 10 years. Every year, the average age gets older by a year.
Is that right?
How are we going to capture? I mean, I heard you speak at the event back in October, or was the War College event. Okay. And if you look through the room, hardly anybody there under their 40s. I don't know if you've noticed this dynamic, but cybersecurity in general seems to be the decision makers of the companies, the seasoned people who have vested interest in what's going on with the organization. But how are we going to engage that younger generation? Because that's really what we need.
Well, I think we're going to do it. And I've had, it's interesting, I've had a lot of parents call me in the last couple of months and saying, you know, my kid is in such and such a program at such and such a university, and they're interested in getting into this area. What do you think is going to develop here and things like that? As I said, I think we're going to need people with some diplomatic skills and may get degrees in these areas and stuff like that. But we're also going to need, I had one small company, cyber company, in, and you may identify with this company. He was telling me, I don't need degree people. I need young people who were kind of nerdy in high school, didn't go to the prom, have a little purple in their hair, and weren't involved in athletics, went home after school and got on the computer, and have the kind of skills that I can take and turn into some really relevant skills and get them some certifications, and they can make $80,000, $100,000 a year. And I think there's going to be a great marketplace for young people. And we just got to impress them that this is going to be an area of great opportunity in the future, and they need to get prepared for it.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So that's kind of the thing. I mean, but if you look at what attracts, say, that demographic, San Antonio has a big presence in cybersecurity, and the Austin-San Antonio is very big in that millennial generation, and you know, around that age, and they have the nightlife and the city river, the river walk.
Well, it all comes from jobs, let's face it.
It does.
And let's never forget that just in the last month, Colorado Springs was rated by U.S. News and Report as the fifth most desirable place to live. Who are we right next to? Austin and Raleigh-Durham. Who are we way ahead of? San Antonio, Seattle, Portland, all those sort of things that everybody says, oh, why can't we be like more like Portland? I say, oh, like that company that's, or that city that's, you know, 15 below us on the most desirable place in America to live. We create the jobs. The private marketplace creates all the amenities. Mm-hmm. We've got a great outdoors. We've got cycling. We've got hiking, all that sort of thing. If our bars aren't cool enough, they will be if people have job opportunities here. The market will respond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confident in that.
So if you look at it in terms of the ultimate benefactor of cybersecurity, I've heard lots of talk about big universities, big companies, but privacy is really belongs to the individuals. So if we're focusing in this, I've been involved with four different national cybersecurity efforts in DC and, you know, industry consortiums and stuff. And the direction that when they went towards being controlled or special interest of big companies or government, the population kind of migrated away. The efforts, either when funding was over, they lost their appeal. but the focus wasn't on cybersecurity being for privacy, being for the average people. It became the big companies wanting the big data. They're not interested in protecting individual privacy as much as having access to lots of big data. And government could be seen as saying, big brother, they want to have access to what's going on and trends and the ability to enforce. And that dynamic seems to oppose the cybersecurity for the individuals and privacy.
I think that's going to be a big part of what I described as the law and public policy debate that we're going to take on in the next 5 to 10 years. There's going to be, because you're right, big companies are going to be driven by their need for or their desire for big data, and there's going to be a pushback, and I know there's lots of organizations that represent that pushback in terms of individual privacy, and it's going to be an interesting balancing act, and it's going to be you know, a lot of debate about where we're eventually going to land.
Do you see that that's a primary focus to work on? Because, I mean, my thoughts are, after looking at those national efforts that had lots of funding come in, when their funding dried up, they just kind of fizzled or went towards a big industry.
Yeah.
But if we say, how can we take away from that and learn to this effort, and really that is to broaden it, economic development. How do we get 100 startups from those young millennial generation population to all have a company in this area and organize that, rather than try to focus on bringing in big universities, big companies, you know, organizations that are large that fall into that pattern of big brother and big data collection?
I think it's not going to be exclusively one or the other, and you may think it has to be one or the other. I don't think it has to be. I think there's going to be a lot of interests that are going to be explored. We want this to be a sustainable sort of thing that's not just dependent on the funding of one company or a couple of billionaires or something like that. And we'll see what direction it goes. But I think this is, we want to be front and center in that public policy debate.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds good. So if you could give everybody listening some guidance as to what to look for, what's coming down the road, maybe something that's you can release now that you know, I haven't really told everybody.
I think you'll see this, whether we call it a national cyber innovation center, institute, I think it will be up and running by October. I think we will have aspects of it, particularly the training aspects of it, in full force then or soon thereafter. I think the workforce development aspects of it will come very quickly. I think the rapid response aspects and how exactly that works will be something that will probably take a year to flesh out exactly what direction we want to go. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I think you'll see a little bit more of it. My guess is we'll start actually renovating the building in June. The appropriation should be final in another week now. Then the CU regents need to say, go ahead, you can spend the money this way. And you'll hear more and more about it over the coming months.
Any support that you need that for part of this effort?
We will probably be calling on the expertise of folks in the community for service on some of the advisory board. There'll be a couple of components within it, and those will be announced from time to time, our need for expertise from the community.
Okay. Well, if you need anything and you'd like to, we're always here to use us to put the word out.
So okay.
Let us know what we can support you with here at Lodgy Central as well.
Appreciate that very much.
All right. And thanks a lot for joining Mayor John Sethers of Colorado Springs. And thanks for your insight. And look forward to the progression of Colorado Springs. And hopefully in 10 years, we're 50 times the size that we are now.
Maybe in the cybersecurity arena, I hope we're not 50 times the size population-wise. That would be a bit problematic.
So. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for joining today.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.